This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When you lose players of that caliber, they're not easy to replace.
Right left! I'm hit! We're coming apart! I can't control it! 090! 20, we're going down!
Voodoo one! What's been hit?
Having said that, we have capable people. We have a lot of depth at all the positions. It's going to provide opportunities for others to step up.
Watch Maverick on alert 5.
Maverick's airborne.
Thompson moving tonight. He's got two. Scores! He's got three! Hat trick for Tage Thompson! Tage Thompson works it around Schwartz. High slot. Holds it. Wrister scores! Tage Thompson!
Flipped up. Here's a breakaway. Tage Thompson. In on the own. Thompson scores!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I feel the need for the NHL to alter the rules and allow Tage Thompson to play in this game tonight.
Come on, let him in.
Look at this. We almost feel something.
Just the fact that our guy is going there to not really do anything. He'll get to go to the game, I think.
Let's hope. Imagine the rules actually stated, Tage, sorry, you have to stay in the hotel room. It's not even that you can't even play.
In the building.
We don't have any tickets. It's kind of expensive. Sorry, Tage. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It is Thursday, February 20th. I almost want to call it the gold medal game, but it's not.
It's not for a gold medal. I have to stop myself.
It's just for a trophy?
It's for a trophy
that we've
looked up.
They're not going to get medals. They're not going to get rings. They're not going to get plaques. Are there jackets? Are there helmets? Each player should probably get a thing, no?
I think they should be allowed to wear a gold helmet for the rest of the NHL season.
All right, I'm sold. I think
just to remind everybody who won, although I guess they didn't win the gold. They won the trophy.
I think every player should be allowed 3 points to give to a team of their choice in the standings that's not their own.
Can it be 30 instead of 3?
No, 3. And we'll just have all the players give the Sabres the points. You can't give your own team a point.
Yeah.
I don't know why they'd pick the Sabres. How funny would that be? Like, it's a little bit of an offshoot when the All-Star game determined home field in the World Series.
Yeah.
Like, every member of the winning team will have 3 points to give out in the standings to the teams of their choice.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, it's pretty dumb. It's pretty stupid. It's 6 a.m., but it is what it is. Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. I almost did it again. I almost called it the gold medal game.
I mean, if we do, whatever. Everyone knows what you mean. If it's the gold medal, I also don't know that they're not presenting gold medals. There will be a trophy.
We learned yesterday that Lindy, when coaching for Team Canada, while he coached in a gold medal game, it wasn't a gold medal game for him. He did not get a medal.
No. Well, he did from Team Canada.
Sure.
Which, they probably tried to make the same medal. Were they even allowed to do that?
I have no idea.
Like, here's a medal. I don't know. But, right, coaches don't get medals at the Olympics. So, Lindy doesn't have one that he got from Vancouver or from Sochi, would have been the other one that they won. So, yeah. Maybe they'll get one, though, tonight. I don't know that they're not going to present medals.
Right.
We just know that there's a trophy and that there's going to be, you know, trash talking, pride. I don't know. That's what they're playing for tonight.
They're playing for pride, but in the good way, right? It's a game for pride. And you would hope the intensity is right where it was on Saturday, which why wouldn't it be? This one's to win the tournament.
Yeah.
And that was just, you know, the play-in round. So, all right.
I just don't expect fights off the top, but
I don't think so.
Playoff type hockey tonight, but featuring the most talented players in the world, except for Quinn Hughes, because we just, you know, we're just not going to let him play.
You know, if you want,
but otherwise the best hockey players.
If you want to go there, the Quinn Hughes saga on whether or not he would join Team USA to me was funnier than anything, because on one level it was, all right, we need some depth. On defense, who can we get? How about the best American defenseman, arguably? Great. Could he by chance also be the one that's the farthest away?
Yeah,
yes.
Yes,
I found him. He couldn't possibly be any farther away than he is. And we're going to talk like it's a situation that's in flux, like Quinn Hughes is in Baltimore. He was a 7-hour-plus flight away.
Yeah.
And it was breathless reporting moment to moment. Here's Pierre LeBrun. Here's Frank Saravalli. Great insider saying, following the situation on Hughes. And I'm thinking, following the situation, he has a 7.5-hour flight.
Right. Well, it was, is he getting on the plane? Oh, he's practicing in Vancouver. He's still there.
Again, if he was already in Toronto or Montreal, I would have listened to it. But it seems ridiculous. The idea that Tage and Brett Pesce are traveling to Boston, that's easy. You can make it there in, what, 40 minutes?
Yeah. Well, I think the difference is Tage and Pesce, there is no plan on them to play unless there is, you know, unless there is an injury. And I read Michael Russo from The Athletic, and he's the Wild reporter, so he's going to be the guy talking to Bill Guerin, and he had Guerin quotes in there. It sounds like from that story that the U.S. thought they were going to get Hughes to play. They thought they were going to get Hockey Canada to even said, like, they told the league, they're like, we're good. If they want to play Quinn Hughes, they're allowed to play Quinn Hughes. And they thought they had a backing maybe even in the league, because the difference between this and the Canadian guy who showed up there to play because of injury is Quinn Hughes was on the original roster, not even just the original, like, full roster, before they announced the whole roster in October, or first week in November, they announced the first six players of each team. Not the whole roster, just the first six players.
The original six, if you will.
Oh, is that why they did that?
Maybe.
Oh,
I mean, there are six players on the ice.
But anyways, he was one of those six players. So they thought they were going to get the league to say yes, because one, their opponent said, you're good, go ahead. And they had that, which was different than the other situation with guys showing up for injury. But then it all like didn't matter because the Canucks said, no, he's not going. The team said he's not allowed to go.
Yeah.
And from reading that story, I feel like if the Vancouver Canucks cleared him to go, he was going to play tonight.
Do you feel like if the Vancouver Canucks were the Seattle Canucks, he would be going?
I did look up Jim Rutherford and whether he's Canadian or American, and sure enough, he's a good Canadian boy.
Oh, look at this.
The president of
look
hockey ops.
Look at this sabotage, huh?
The owner is also from Vancouver. The head coach is from Canada.
I mean,
bunch of Canadians on a Canadian team telling the American their best defenseman can't come.
Just
conspiracy.
Flat out say you're afraid.
They're afraid.
Just say it.
Let them play.
You're just afraid of the Americans. We might as well get our trash talk in now, because if it doesn't go well, you know, we'll just move on to tomorrow and talk about, you know, the NFL salary cap.
Talk about who the Bills should pick in the second round.
That's right. Well, I mean, I'm excited. I've got plans for the game. Last time I had a hockey game like this, I mean, it would have been Saturday, but before that, right? What are you doing for the game? We've got a couple guys on my street, a bunch of guys on my street. We're in a fantasy football league, and we kind of have a standing Thursday night. Whoever can make it, you know, pop down to the corner bar, catch up, you know, kids are in bed, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes two guys show up, sometimes eight guys show up. And as soon as this final game got announced, it was like the group chat went, all right, it's a Thursday. Who's going to make it? This one seems a little bit special. So we'll see if it's two or if it's 12. But, yeah, I mean, this is very much a friends asking, what are you doing for the game? What's the plan for the game?
Yep.
And I'm locked in. I'm excited for it, ready to be there, ready to get invested. I found out how invested I was in this tournament on Saturday watching that game because, you know, the fights at the beginning were fun and cool, and then McDavid makes it 1-0. And let's be honest, if Canada had scored the second goal there, Joe, and won, you know, been 3-0 Canada at the end of the first somehow. Not to say I wouldn't have cared, but I would have very easily just moved along to like, oh, well, whatever, we'll see him and see if the U.S. can make the final round.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that, the Eichel pass to Gensel, when he gets one by Binnington to even it at one, you know, sometimes this happens to us where I jumped and yelled and surprised myself. Like, oh,
wow.
Oh,
yeah.
I really do care. I care quite a bit that they win this game. And when Larkin scored on that 2-1-1, same thing. You know, big fist pumps, like, let's go.
Yeah.
So tonight I'm expecting more of the same, just really just digging into a game in February. And, you know, then we'll get back to the NHL.
I'm also meeting some friends out for the game, but we've not picked a location because we are trying to figure out, like, where are the most people going to be for this?
Yep.
Like, it's a game where, like, we want to be in, like, a group setting where there's an atmosphere. Like, if there's a goal, like, the whole place or up, right, high five. That's when you really care about a sporting event or a tournament is when you are high-fiving people you don't know.
Yeah. And right. Seeking out, like, I'd like to go high-five some strangers tonight.
Yes, exactly. That is my goal for tonight, is to high-five strangers.
We did that on Saturday. So Saturday for the game, a couple of buddies and I went out. We were at the simulator watching and playing golf. And the decision was made, after the second, let's make sure we go someplace where people are, because this is going to get intense in the third.
Yeah.
And we did. And, you know, watching it with a crowd was cool. Tonight, I mean, tonight should be a lot of fun.
I don't think I did this for Game 7 of the final, I think. It, not to the same degree. We probably went out for that game, but...
Like the
Oilers and the Panthers.
Okay.
Like, hey, it's Game 7 tonight, winner wins the Stanley Cup. What are we doing for it? This, though... Because that is what? Like, that's more you're just watching the game. Maybe you have a rooting interest one way or the other, but not everybody is... You know, not everybody's maybe rooting for the same team or the same individuals or, you know, we've got, like, in our group, we've got, like, three guys that love Sam Reinhardt and three guys that hate Sam Reinhardt. So, you know, some of them are rooting for the Panthers, some aren't. But, like, tonight, everyone's rooting for the same team.
Yeah.
It'd be as if, you know, it's the Sabres just wearing an alternate jersey with, you know, players that are a lot better. Everyone being on the same page and who we're rooting for, man, I'm pumped up. I'm pumped up. Like, I do really care if they win this game or not. And if they don't, then we can just say asterisk because Quinn Hughes wasn't there.
Well, I mean, if I'm looking at you for this, you've been on American Hockey is Catching Canada for a long time. Like,
yes.
Inch by inch tracking this. And yesterday our conversation with Lindy, you know, when you're coaching the team, you asked him the question. Like, you're coaching the team back in Salt Lake, and the Canadians are big favorite, and whatever, in Vancouver, rather.
Vancouver, yeah.
And now it does not seem like the U.S. is a plucky underdog that hopes to win this game.
Right.
They could lose, for sure, but it's a coin toss. And U.S. hockey, having gotten to this point, is a testament to U.S. hockey. Of course, the U.S. has the edge in goal, and that is not close. That's one spot where, you know, you've got to feel pretty good about it. But you know, when you brought that up to Lindy, he said he totally agrees. This is not the same as it was 10 years ago. I mean, I guess 15 years ago, because Vancouver was 2010. Wow.
Yes.
All right, 2010. So 15 years ago, it was, let's hope Ryan Miller can save Team USA to the gold. And now, the U.S. is still strong in goal, but they've got the rest of the roster to get it done.
Do you want to hear a take that I had a buddy tell me yesterday that I had not heard about why that's happened? I think it's almost more funny than it is probably accurate.
Why
have they caught Canada? Why have they, in terms of talent,
yeah.
Like, why are they no longer, you know, physical, you know, these David Backus type players up front where they're going to try to, you know, outwork you, and they're pretty good, but their best players are never like the elitely talented guys.
Right. Why did Team USA become a team that has a guy that scored 69 goals last year, Austin Matthews?
Why does Jack Hughes exist? Why is he, you know, a 110-point player? Why do they have all these gifted, skilled, talented players all over the place?
Oh, that's a good question. Is it a hot take? Is it a...
Yeah, sure. It would qualify. It would qualify.
All right. Spicy take.
It's giving one man all the credit.
Crosby.
No. Who? Don Granato.
Oh.
He coached all of them. And like, hey, when he was here, everyone got better offensively. Everyone scored more goals.
Yeah.
You're telling me all these guys went through a system where that dude was the coach? Huh. They're all really talented. They all score a lot. They're all really good offensively. Again, like, I don't think that answer. But, like, I'm not saying it's also not, like, again, Granato was the coach from, like, 2011. This is the U.S. program. 2011 to 2016, 2017. So, like, all these guys that are playing right now that are in their primes, like, went through that guy on their way to becoming, you know, NHL players.
I mean, did you see the look?
I thought it was a funny one.
Did you see the look on my face when you said it?
You kind of, yeah.
I went with a, you know, like, I'll listen to it. Is it any different than someone pointing out Brian Daboll was important to Josh Allen's development?
Right, right. You know, like,
he was there. He was there. And, you know, sure, there's a talent that's involved, but I mean,
you're listening to it?
I'm
like, not giving him all the credit, but like maybe there's a little something there.
Yeah.
He was good at coaching offense and skill and, you know, development of those skills. And, you know, now I've got a Team USA that, as opposed to 15 years ago, is very different in that way.
Yeah.
Very different in that way. Top of the lineup down to like the third line. Or they could have a fourth line with it. They just chose not to. Right? Tage could have been there. Cole Caulfield could have been there. Like, they could have had four lines of super skilled players if they really wanted to. And before, maybe they had one. So, yeah, Granato. Maybe that's the reason we've got this
team. I mean, I'm listening to it. One of the things about Granato, this is, you know, if there's ever an oral history of the drought or a 20-part documentary, one of the things about Granato that I think about a lot is how he never got to really... He never got to coach Jack, just be the head coach in his system. He coached under Kruger, right? And that's Jack's last time here. And if Granato had been given... What if Granato was the coach that's hired when Jack's a rookie?
When he's a rookie?
Instead of Bielsma. It's Granato. Mm-hmm. It's a guy that... You know, when Granato was here, what did he do? He brought along young guys and taught them how to play a certain way, and hey, don't put too much pressure on yourself. You don't have to be, just go out there and like, we'll play wide open.
Yeah.
And people kind of liked the team quite a bit. I always just wonder what it would have been like if he'd been able to get a hold of Jack for any period of time, whether he would not have been rushed into the captaincy, whether he would have just been, you know, more productive, even more productive, because he was super productive here. Like, it's one part of his game that I never thought was lacking. It's just,
yeah.
He did a nice job getting the best out of young players, and the Sabres, arguably best young player they maybe ever had, did not get that coach. He got Dan Bielsma, and then he got
Housley and Kruger,
and then Kruger.
Yeah,
it's different. It's different. So anyway, tonight I will be rooting, of course, for Team USA. I will be very easily rooting for Jack because I never stopped. So, you know, rooting for great players is, it's something I'm going to do no matter what. And we'll see how tonight goes. 8 o'clock face-off. The hockey world is flexing its muscles. Seeing a lot of that. Because the NBA just had a really bad weekend. And hockey has had a really good 2 weeks. And tonight is the, you know, the final show. What's it up against? Nothing.
Is there TGL tonight?
There is not. TGL got in their games on Monday and Tuesday. You know, you've got NBA games off the All-Star break, but tonight it's at center stage, and the NHL gets its spotlight, and I'm sure SportsCenter will spend a lot of time on this. There's not even an NFL drama thing out there. The biggest thing that happened in the NFL yesterday was the announcement of the cap and where that'll go.
Yep.
And we'll talk about the implications of that. But center stage for the NHL. Let's have ourselves. Would you take right now? Would you take overtime?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Give me all the drama. Give me all the drama possible. Yeah. I'll take overtime.
Let's have overtime, except let's not have a Canadian legend score from an odd angle that we don't even know goes in to end the game.
Yeah.
This is a tough one.
Yeah. I'm wearing the jersey today. Not the Crosby jersey, the Miller jersey. Also, Crosby scoring it again would maybe not be great.
No, that would be terrible.
Crosby actually has scored goals like this, and I mean, if you're a Sabre fan, I don't need a third one. He scored to win the Winter Classic, right? That kind of stunk. He scored to win the gold medal game in 2010. That very much stunk. And, like, you know, if he were to bury them again, maybe that's why I hate Crosby or hated Crosby as a kid. I don't really hate him anymore. I'll take overtime. I'm not conflicted in this. I know you definitely are not conflicted in this. I do wonder how Sabre fans will feel that are hardcore rooting for Team USA, the emotion they'll be faced with if it is Jack that scores in overtime. Like, if they had an overtime and Eichel was the one to win it. Because for me, again, I'm not conflicted. I would cheer, but like if I was in this place that I'm trying to get to with a lot of people and I'm high-fiving strangers, if I turn to high-five that stranger and he's the one who scored, is that guy high-fiving me back? Maybe not.
I'm trying to think if there's any player I'd rather have score the goal. If it matters to me, who scores it?
You're really just like, let me, you know.
Is Matthews any better
than Eichel?
Like, sure.
Scoring the goal?
Sure. I'm trying to think
he's on Toronto.
If there's even a hierarchy for who I want to score the goal, is it better if it's Werenski? Is it better if it's...
Right.
I'm trying to think if I care at all.
Like, would you care if
the U.S. were to win it in overtime? It's Dylan Larkin.
Right. If it's Matthew Tkachuk.
If it's Tage. Get him in the game, folks.
I mean, if it's Tage.
Get him in the game.
I mean, it'll be unbelievable if it's
so
Tage.
So part of your story was the NHL was basically willing to say, whatever, fine, go to the bench.
Maybe. Not even that, but more that kind of the U.S., more so, like Bill Guerin believed he could get the NHL to let him play. So that's not direct from the NHL. That's maybe Guerin kind of guessing that he could get that to happen. But that it never got there because it never got to that point in the first place because the Canucks said he's not cleared to play or he's not cleared to fly all the way to Boston for this thing. So he might not have been able to play regardless, but Guerin. He kind of made a point, like, I know what the rules are. Like, I know what the rules are. I'm talking to the right people. I know, you know, if I didn't think there was a shot he could play, we wouldn't have even been putting the effort in. Like, he thought there was a shot that they were going to let Quinn Hughes play. So, that wasn't confirmed. The NHL didn't say that, but the US GM kind of said that.
Yeah.
So.
803-0550 is our number. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton at 8:30 this morning. We'll talk with Tyler Dunn at 7. He has a piece up at his website, golongtd.com, a big picture look at the Bills and where they kind of sit this offseason. We'll talk to Tyler, and that'll be at 7 o'clock. Your phone calls along the way, good morning to all of you out there. Good morning to the chat on YouTube, which is discussing whether or not Owen Power is good. The chat we're treating now as a character on the show. They're yelling at each other about Owen Power.
It's its own organism.
Sometimes you just wake up in the morning, you want to log into a YouTube chat of a radio show and start throwing bombs at Owen Power.
Did we even say his
name?
We did not. See, that's why I love it.
That's why we
don't even have to mention a guy and just bam, everyone's fist fighting in the chat about Owen Power.
The chat is like if you were to, you know, you look out in your backyard and you see like, what are the dogs doing out there? And you just find out like, they're after something. And today the chat is getting after Owen Power. So, hey, what's going on in the chat? That's going on. You can jump in. You can stream with us on YouTube or on Twitch, of course. And whatever. We'll hang out. USA Canada tonight, 8 o'clock. Very excited for that. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Of speed, he scores! Dylan time tonight.
Final of the Four Nations is tonight from Boston. An expensive ticket to try to get in if you were going to try.
You can't get in for less than a grand. At least that was true as of like Tuesday.
Is this going to be one of those rare spots where it is an expensive crowd but also a rowdy crowd?
Yes, I think that's probably right. The was it the Ryder Cup that was in Boston a couple of years ago, and the ticket price was like out of this world stupid, but it was still like a very rowdy crowd at the Ryder Cup. I think that rings a bell from a couple years ago. The cheapest get-in price right now for this game, okay, it's dropped a little bit. $940 you can get in for. That's in the standing room section of the TD Garden in Boston. So yeah, right. You can get in for less than a grand, I guess.
The that moon is it Moonlight, right? It's the Moonlight remix.
Freebird.
Yeah, Moonlight Freebird. So this artist or group Moonlight, do you know what their whole racket is?
Don't they just do that with all the?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of like classic songs?
Yeah, a bunch of 70s songs. It's just that's what they do. They do it to some CCR songs.
Did you just go through and listen to them all yesterday?
I pulled up one on YouTube and it just kept going down the playlist and I'm thinking this is the whole bit. This is what they do. They take 70 songs.
This is their thing.
And they it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. That's the gig.
Right.
All right. Freebird. Two wide receiver notes. You had one in the update there about Ja'Marr Chase. There's also a note on Chris Godwin. So Godwin is going to be a free agent. However, his contract had voided on February 17th. So the original language of Chris Godwin's contract would have had him a UFA right now.
Yeah.
But he agreed to change his contract to make it void now on March 12th. So Godwin basically signed on to give the Bucs an extra month to get a deal done to stay in Tampa.
Gotcha.
Read that how you will. Agreeing to not go to free agency, like what's the advantage for him? Sure, fine. Good faith. We're close. Let's get something done sooner so he never leaves, is my guess. So that's a note on Chris Godwin and the Bucs. You also mentioned Matthew Stafford in the update, or Rodgers and the Rams and Stafford getting calls. I saw his wife does a podcast, and from the sound of his wife, it sounds like he's leaving L.A. because they're mad about the Cooper Kupp trade. They don't understand. Cooper is really good. We're really close. Why would they do this? His wife sounded upset with the Rams. So a divorce with the Rams and Stafford could happen. The Staffords, I want to say, because she was kind of speaking for him there. And she's revealed things in the past in her podcast, right? Including one about... Because her brother is Chad Hall, former Bills wide receiver coach.
Yeah.
Who left Buffalo for Jacksonville.
And now he's on the Giants.
Right, right. With Brian Daboll and that staff. So maybe that could be a match that they go to the Giants. 803-0550 to join us. Happy Four Nation Confrontation Final.
That's right. The Confrontation to Nations. Which will not be on the ice tonight because the game is in Boston.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Yeah. Can't be more excited for tonight. I was looking through the list of players that Granato has coached on this team. It's all of them.
All of them?
It's basically, I'm having a harder time finding a guy he didn't coach at some point along the way. And, you know, Tage would be a part of that too. If he did get in and did anything, like, I think it would be one of the coolest things of the Sabre season, because there's also not that many cool things that have happened all year long. But if he were to get in for this game tonight, I'd also be curious to see, like, what he would look like. Like, I asked Lindy this, I asked Paul this, and I agree with Paul. Like, I had no idea what Tage would look like. What does Tage look like in a playoff setting? Because he's big, but he is not this most physical guy in the world. He's not physical, yep. You know? But I don't know what he would look like in a game like this where everybody's running around at a million miles an hour and everybody is clobbering you with giant hits. Like, I think in theory he should still be pretty good, but I don't know. I wonder how much of a culture shock it would be to him to just play in a game after playing for the Sabres for 5 years, just playing a game like that tonight if he were to get in.
How did Dahlin look? Is that any different? I mean, Dahlin does play a physical style of game and is someone that is... Well, whatever. It feels like he fits in nicely.
Well, he looked great.
For Tage, you feel like he'd be better on the wing in this spot? Because that I do.
Yeah, probably do too. He's been playing wing for 2 months now.
Yeah.
If he's a winger, by the way, like going forward, like that's another thing. Like they're talking about trading Cousins, and there's rumors left and right. Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period, writing about Cousins yesterday again. Like every day, there's a new Cousins thing. And like, if he's on the trade market and Thompson's a winger now, like,
God help us,
Yuri Kulik better be like a 35-goal scorer because he's their only center.
Better trade for Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, do something.
803-0550. So on the Sabres, who got back to practice, maybe you didn't see this. Paul Hamilton has a piece up on our website. And people joke about clickbait from time to time, like, oh, you know, the headline is clickbait. And I got, you want to say I got baited into this? I did. Lindy Ruff's bold plan for the Sabres to get to the playoffs.
What, this year?
Yes.
This year?
Yes.
He's going to play two goalies at the same time.
So it's kind of, it lays out how dark things are for the Sabres, but I did the math on it, and it checks out. The idea that the Sabres are so far out of it that you feel like, well, there's a better chance that an asteroid hits the Earth in 2032. That's statistically what we're looking at right now. That's a thing. But the Sabres have done the math, and it is that they have to get 7 out of every 10 points until the final 3 games of the season, and then maybe win like 3 in a row.
Wait.
Yeah.
It's not even just win, get 7 out of every 10?
No.
It's 7 out of every 10, and then go on a 3-game win streak at the end. So if I do the job, and I go from now until middle of April, and I do get 7 out of every 10,
yeah,
you're telling me I still got to win my last 3 games?
Yeah, let me read you the quote. So Paul wrote this.
That's unbelievable.
This piece is at WGRZ.com, at their website, because Paul does work with Channel 2 as well. And Lindy broke it down like this. We discussed that this morning and really tried to turn this into our playoffs, where we break it down to every 5 games. Get a minimum of 7 out of 10 every 5 games.
Okay.
That puts us at 84 with 3 games left. And then win those 3 and you get to 90. I know it's hard. I know it's a difficult task, but I think you have to set goals and make this your playoff push. On some level, I respect having done the math of Listen,
sure.
7 out of every 10 points until there are 3 games left, and then run the table and get to 90. Right now, the last spot in the East, the pace is 91. So you need to do that and hope that no one else gets above 91, and you have the tiebreaker on regulation wins, and this and that, and this and that. So they are, of course, in last, of course, having a horrid season, but they're still doing the math. They are 6 points behind the next team in the conference.
Yeah. Well, I applaud them for even having something you can put up on the whiteboard in the locker room and feel like
7 out of every 10
points.
Because
what are you really trying to... It's like, you know, if you're golfing and you're trying to break 80 and you're like, oh, you know, if I par, you know, let me just par the next 3 and then on 18, you know, give myself a shot at a birdie.
Sure.
You know, that's it. Get me to this is kind of what I think Lindy maybe is doing. Get me to hole 18 with a shot at it. Get me to the 18th hole with, okay, let me see if I can pull off a miracle when I get there and go, you know, and birdie that one. That's kind of maybe what he's done, which in that way I respect it because that could keep, you know, that could keep players plugged in.
Sure.
That might feel like, you know, I got no shot. What's the point?
It could keep you
asteroids coming.
Plugged in for 5 games. All right, let's keep the golf thing going. So making the playoffs is what? Breaking 100?
For them?
For anybody. I mean,
sure,
it's
okay,
just,
sure,
just
yeah,
making
sorry,
the
sorry,
playoffs.
Yeah, sure.
Is breaking 100.
Sure.
We won't even make it breaking 90. It's breaking 100.
Okay.
And the Sabres usually shoot 60 on the front.
Okay.
That's pretty much how it goes most seasons. And right now, that's kind of what they did. They shot a 60 on the front.
Yep.
And now they're on like the 13th hole.
Right.
It's whatever. Right. They did the math, though. And there's a quote from the coach yesterday at practice. They did the math. 7 out of every 10. Win the last 3 games. That's 90.
It's not really that realistic, obviously.
No, it's
fantasy land.
Yes.
But right, they're doing I would expect that that's more for motivation of the players. Like the last time saw this recently, like the last time you've really seen a team, maybe like the only time a team this far out at this stage has ever made it. They're actually, did you see Ottawa is celebrating Andrew Hammond coming up? Like March 5th, I think they're doing like a they're celebrating the team that went nuts at the end of a season. The Senators made the playoffs, and Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, if you remember him, he went down the stretch of that year 21-2 was his record at the end of that season, 2015, and they made the playoffs from being like 10 out in February.
Yeah,
but again. It took 21-2 from that goaltender to make the postseason.
I almost feel like the Sabres can have that little plan they laid out. The better plan is we have to win 10 straight. That's probably better.
But I guess that's tougher to keep guys motivated because when you lose the second one, now what do you tell them?
Start again.
You win 10 again.
You got to get a 10-game winning streak. Start it tonight. Just like... You know, you can't leave the gym until you make 10 free throws in a row. You make 5, miss one. All right, start again. Make 10 in a row right now. That's what it's going to take. And then still work from there. 803-0550. Tyler Dunn joining us at top of the hour. We'll shift things to the Bills in the 7 o'clock segment as we talk salary cap. And what I think is a growing sentiment about how the Bills should really be, you know, stepping on the gas here. And I am here for that conversation because they should be. Tyler's got a little bit about that in his newest piece. 803-0550 is our phone number. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Legendary play-by-play man Mike Lang of the Pittsburgh Penguins has passed away. Is there RJ?
Sad. I saw a lot of people sharing clips and stories and clips.
He's the
calls, I should say.
Yeah, his calls are, I can say this not being nonsense, right? Scratch my back with a hacksaw. Like that kind of just nuts. Mike Lang, legend in Pittsburgh, has passed away. Josh also pointed out it's the 12-year anniversary of firing Lindy Ruff.
Yes.
February 20th, which means that yesterday was the 12-year anniversary of me hitting the goal horn at the arena for the one goal they scored against Winnipeg.
Oh. Well, the fired him the next day.
That's right.
Okay. So you said yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Which also means that 12 years ago today, Syracuse basketball played somebody. Because I was driving to Syracuse to go to a Syracuse basketball game and found out Lindy Ruff got fired. And instead of spending the night in Syracuse and having the day off, I drove back home that night to come in to talk about how the Sabres had fired Lindy Ruff. That's a long way to get to where were you when Lindy got fired. I was coming off of being the guy that hit the goal horn in the arena and going to a Syracuse basketball game.
I was at the West Seneca Library.
In what grade?
I would have been in
2013. High school?
Junior year of high school. Okay. Senior year of high school. Junior year.
By the way, I thought of something. I've started to write down for our segment, Do the Kids Know About This? For you two. I wrote something down yesterday where Grandpa tells you about something.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever know about, ever know about 6 CD changers?
Like in your car?
Yes. Yeah. Where a person would have, sometimes it was a magazine of 6 CDs that would go right in the front dash. But there was also a version where you had a rotating 6 CD thing that went in your trunk.
I had that.
You had it?
I had that.
Wow.
We had that in, we had one of those like in our house.
Right.
Yeah.
In the house they had those, but I'm talking in the car.
In the car?
Yeah.
My radio in my first car had one just built into the radio.
Where you could just put it, six CDs in?
Yeah, but like one at a time, obviously, but yeah. It was that. Those were.
I don't remember having the 6 CD changer in the car. No.
Okay. Well.
So you're saying you would put them in one at a time. They would just disappear. Trust that it's all in the same.
There were three different versions. There's one. I think the one like you're talking about. You could just feed them in, and the changer was in the. Then there was one where you popped out a full magazine and you'd slot them in like that. And then there was one that would go in the trunk.
Okay.
Did you guys have the tape cassette? You put in the cassette thing, but it had a wire coming out of it?
Yes.
And then you could plug it into your phone or your iPod or whatever?
Yes, but before,
it was an aux.
Before that, you would plug the aux into your CD player, like your Sony Discman. Yeah. Back when CD players were all in cars, you would have to, convert it to a tape player. And then you'd be driving along the road, and you'd go over a bump, and the music would stop for 5 minutes. As the CD tried to find the whatever. This is a laser tried to find the CD again. Anyway. All right. Well, you guys know about that. All right.
Those will have their comeback, I'm sure. Yeah. Everything goes through a cycle, right? Right now it's record players. In 10 years, everyone's going to be breaking back out the CD players. And the six,
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It's Jeremy and Joe on U.S.-Canada Day, the Four Nations confrontation tonight from Boston. We'll shift gears. We'll get some football when we get back. Want to talk about the salary cap. Want to talk about, the Bills and the idea of going all in. Tyler Dunn has a piece up at his website, golongtd.com. A look at the Bills, big picture here, what we can kind of pull from what Brandon Bean is saying, what expectation we should have in the offseason. So we're going to chat with Tyler and take your phone calls along the way. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
More of Jeremy and Joe.